This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Chapter 11. We'll read verses 1 to 7 and then jump to 17. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. And after this, he said to one of the disciples, Let us go to Judea again. And we'll jump to verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he, that is Lazarus, had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. May God bless his word. Thank you. Have you ever been in a situation where you realized that you were likely going to die suddenly? Kind of one of those close call moments, or you found yourself in a set of circumstances that you did not know you were going to get out of. Like maybe you were on a plane and the plane ride suddenly started getting very scary and bumpy, or maybe you were driving down the road and there was a sudden close call that, had it been inches differently, would have been tragic. I had a situation a few years ago that I didn't know I was going to make it out of. I do construction work part-time, and years ago, I would do handyman work on the side to try to earn some extra income. And I put advertisements out there, and I would get phone calls, and I got this one phone call from a man who lived in Potosi. And he said he had a storefront property there in Potosi. He had his apartment on top, and his store was down below. He wanted to remodel it. He wasn't sure what he was going to do with it, and it needed a lot of work. It was more than I could handle, but I could do a little bit. And one day I went with, I hired Bill and my nephew Simeon, and we all went together, and we were fixing some floorboards in different sections. And we were working pretty hard while this man came and stepped inside while we were working. And he told me how, he introduced himself, and he told me how he had a storefront a couple of buildings up the road that he would like some work done on. And I thought, hey, this is great. So I told him, I said, I'm busy right now, I can't look at it, but during lunch, I will, at the lunch break, I'll go up there and we'll check it out. So he said, that's fine. So lunch came, and I went up the road a couple of stores to where he was. And as I approached the store, it looked like, from the outside, an antique store. You know, it was kind of old, and there were knickknacks in the windows. I stepped inside the store and I looked around me and I was shocked. As I saw this was no ordinary store. This was a building that was completely full from floor to ceiling with stuff. I mean, there was stuff piled all over the place on the desk, behind the desk, on the sides of the walls, interwoven throughout the building. There was just stuff, floor to ceiling. Anything you could think of. Furniture, books, knickknacks, antiques, just there were snowshoes and helmets and all sorts of items. And I walked to the counter and the man was sitting there. And I had not gotten a good glance at, I had not taken in the situation. He was sitting at this desk and he turned to me and I felt a little bit uncomfortable about the situation. He looked at me, he had these thick glasses that made his eyes kind of look a little bit bigger and his hair kind of fell in front of him a little bit. Looking through the hair, he looked at me and he said, "Oh, I'll show you around." And he got up from the desk and he started showing me around. And we would weave throughout the labyrinth of things that were there. And I'd just look and there would be piles and piles, just oodles of things just all around me. And as we were weaving throughout this labyrinth, he took his arm and he pointed to one wall where there was stuff. And he looked at me and he said, "I need shelves." And I said to myself, "What do you need shelves for? Dividing the stuff into compartments? He needs a dumpster." And we're going down and he keeps leading me and he's pointing to different items and talking, and something surreal happened as he leads me deeper into the cave. All of a sudden, his words started becoming fuzzy to my head. I didn't quite understand what he was saying. And he led me to the back of the room. And there was this one nook that it was like the stuff funneled down to this final point. And as he approached this old wooden door, splintery with an old door handle, he approached it. He kind of had a little bit of a hunch as he talked all these things, and he approached the door. And he turned to me and he said, "I want to show you downstairs." And I kid you not, I don't know what happened. I don't know what was going on. I couldn't leave. I was mesmerized by this. I tried, inside of me, I said, I should probably turn around and leave. I couldn't. And he approached this door and he was going to show me the downstairs. And I'm not joking. This literally, he turned to the door, he turned the doorknob, and then he paused. And he turned back to me, the hair and the glasses. And he said, "This is where we keep the bodies." And he opened the door. And I followed him. And I thought to myself, I'm not going to make it out of here. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. Nobody's going to know that I'm in the basement of this Potosi storefront building. And we went down the stairs. Now, the fact that I'm here telling you this story proves that I made it out of there alive. But it was a moment of, I may not make it. And he showed me downstairs and there was stuff down there. He basically wanted me to buy the whole property and everything in it for $30,000. And he was trying to convince me to buy it. Which, I'm kind of a squirrel and a pack rat, and that was tempting. But I didn't. And I didn't put shelves up. Now, on a more serious note, people do find themselves in situations where they don't make it out alive. When I was in middle school, sixth grade, I believe, I went to the bus stop one morning and there were some older kids who were there, and this one young lady pulled up in a car to pick up some of her friends at the bus stop. And she picked them up and they drove off, and then the bus came and I got on the bus and we drove down the road, and all of a sudden the bus stopped. And we all looked out the window, and there off the side of the road in the woods was the car that I had just seen a moment ago. In the woods, the roof was completely mangled. The windshield was busted. There was hair sticking out of windows full of blood. There were people walking around with blood in their shirts. And we went, and there were people there who had called the ambulance already. So we just drove to school, and they announced that Margaret so-and-so had passed away that morning. Just going to school, picking up friends. She died suddenly. We are going to be in situations where we may not make it out. In fact, we are surrounded by a world of death. It's a very real fact of life, if we want to call it that. I took a moment to go onto the two local obituary pages of our two local funeral homes, and I just took a few of them down to read to you here this morning. First, Chad J. Argel, age 51 of Dodgeville, passed away unexpectedly on Tuesday, January 10, 2023. Joseph Joey White, age 33, of Montello, formerly of Barneveld, Wisconsin, sadly left us unexpectedly on January 28, 2023. Kathy M. Thomas, age 71, of Lancaster, formerly of Linden, passed away unexpectedly at St. Mary's Hospital due to surgical complications on Saturday, February 4, 2023. Gianna Mary Jones, age 58, of Ridgeway, passed away unexpectedly on Wednesday, February 8, 2023, at St. Mary's Hospital in Madison. Cadence Cater Patrick Carmody, age 41, of Madison, formerly of Ridgeway, passed away unexpectedly on Monday, February 13, 2023. Lori Lynn Wallace, 66, of Mineral Point, passed away unexpectedly of a stroke on Sunday, February 19, 2023. Philip Samuel Mendelson unexpectedly passed away on February 20th, 2023, at the age of 75 from complications of open heart surgery. Bill Bubba Bourne, age 58, of Dodgeville, died unexpectedly on Wednesday, March 8th, 2023, at Upland Hills in Dodgeville. Derek R. Pablo Lee, age 38, of Dodgeville, died on Wednesday, March 15, 2023, due to injuries sustained in an automobile accident. Daniel Niles, age 31, of Linden, formerly of Highland, passed away March 23, 2023. And when they listed the medical reason, it was a blood clot in the lung. So in this list, you have age 51, 33, 71, 58, 41, 66, 75, 58, 38, 31, all died suddenly in a local area. Now I look out here this morning among us all, and I see ages ranged from young to older. It doesn't matter what number you have today. It very well may be the case that you could be on this list very shortly. Now, someone might be thinking, hey, I didn't come to an Easter service to be all morbid and talk about death. I want to talk about the resurrection. But the resurrection is only special because you're being raised from the dead. So you really can't talk about a resurrection and how glorious a resurrection is until you talk about what you're being raised from, and that is death. And this is the harsh reality that nobody wants to talk about nowadays, that everybody seems to be sweeping under the rug, is that Anyone could die at any moment. In Turkey recently, there was an earthquake and 57,000 people just died. You and I could die suddenly. We could walk out of this building, have a heart attack, and drop. We could get in our vehicle, go down the road, be sideswiped by a driver, and leave this earth. Here's the question. If you knew that there was a way that after you die, you can come alive again and live forever in a new body, wouldn't you want to know that way? If it were possible that when you die, there would be an actual factual being raised alive from the dead with a new body and a new hope never to die again, wouldn't you want to know that? And wouldn't you want to know how to partake of that? I know I wouldn't. So I'd like to share with you three historical, factual accounts of somebody who died suddenly and was raised miraculously. The first was about 900 BC, a little bit around that area. And if you'd like to follow along, you can in the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. In the Old Testament, you can turn there if you'd like. I'm just going to summarize it because it's a rather long account here. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. There was a man by the name of Elisha. And Elisha was a prophet of God. He went around teaching people about the word of God. And he also had healing powers. He would heal people and perform miracles. Well, Elisha would go to this one, pass through this one city called Shunem. And there was this woman there who is a Shunammite woman. And she would see this man of God pass by. She had an older husband. They had no children. So she said to the man of God, Elisha, when you pass by here, she said, you can stay in my house. There'll be a room upstairs we'll have for you. You can stay here, eat the food you want, just take your rest as you pass by. And so Elisha did this. He passed by. One day he decided that he wanted to bless this woman and her family as a thank you for taking care of his needs. And so he asked her, he said, what can I do for you? In verse 13, do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. In essence, she said, no, I don't want anything. You just don't worry about it. Well, Elisha's servant said to him later, you know, they don't have any kids, and her husband's rather older. You know, maybe you could do something for her there. And so, given power from God, Elisha said to the Shunammite woman, next year you'll come, and you'll have a son to embrace in your arms. She didn't want to believe it. In verse 16, she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. Don't trick me. I have cried many tears because I didn't have a child. And now you're going to tell me I'm going to have a son? Don't put my hopes up. But as Elisha said, it happened. The woman conceived, bore a son, and she rejoiced in the gift of life. The child grew up and eventually reached the age where the child could go with the father out into the field during harvest season. And so the child went out with the father one day, and in the morning they were out there working. And then all of a sudden the child had a pain in his head. And he couldn't quite concentrate while he was doing the work. And he went on, and it got worse. And it got worse, and it got worse, and he couldn't stand the pain. And it got to the point where he cried out to his father. He said, my head, my head. And the father looked at him, and he couldn't stop the work, so he told the servant, he said, go, take the child, bring him to his mother. And so the servant picked up the young lad and carried him back to his mother. And he brought him to his mother, and the mother took him and laid him on her knees and held him. As he said, "My head, my head." And I would imagine this happened in the morning. I would imagine she was rocking him as he said, "My head, my head." And I would imagine that she would hum one of those old Hebrew lullabies that she would hum to him when he was a year old, rocking back and forth, saying, "My head, my head." And we read that at noon, he died. Suddenly. So she took the boy and she brought him upstairs to the man of God's room, put him on the bed. She got on top of a donkey, rode to where the man of God was at Mount Carmel. And she said to him, she said, "Didn't I tell you? I didn't ask you of anything. I didn't ask you for a son." And he looked at her and he knew what happened. So he went over to the house where the child was. He told his servant, he said, "Take my staff, put it on top of the lad." The servant put the staff on top of the lad. Nothing happened. And so he went upstairs himself and he laid out on top of the boy after praying to God. He prayed to God for mercy. He laid himself out on top of the young lad. Nothing happened. A third time, prayed, laid himself on top of the lad. All of a sudden, the lad felt warm. Then the lad sneezed 7 times. He got off the lad, and the boy was alive. He was raised miraculously. You may die unexpectedly, but will you be raised miraculously? Will this be your story of being raised miraculously? The second account is about 900 years later. A man by the name of Lazarus was a friend of Jesus of Nazareth. He was a good friend of Jesus. Jesus was busy going around healing people and curing diseases and communicating the teachings of his father and casting out demons, and he was busy. And one day, Lazarus grew ill, sick. And, well, of course, Lazarus' two sisters, Martha and Mary, thought to themselves, well, Jesus is healing people out there. I mean, surely his best friend, Lazarus, he will come and heal. And so they sent word to Jesus while he was out doing his thing. He said, "Jesus, your friend Lazarus, whom you love, is sick." And we read that when he heard that, he waited 2 days. He finally arrived and found out that his friend Lazarus had died unexpectedly, died suddenly, and was in a tomb and had been there for 4 days. And as he was walking to the city where they lived, both the sisters at some point ran out to him in tears and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And he said, "Show me the tomb where he is laid." So they brought him to the tomb. He said, roll the stone away from the tomb." And Martha, the practical one, said, "Lord, he's been in there for 4 days and there's a stench." He said, "Roll the stone away." And we read how Jesus looked into that empty tomb, prayed to his Father and said, "Thank you for allowing this to happen so that they may know that you are with me and you sent me." And he looked into that dark tomb and he said, "Lazarus, come out." And just like that, the dead man came out of that tomb and was raised miraculously. He died unexpectedly. He was raised miraculously. You may die suddenly. Will you be raised miraculously? Third and final historical factual account of somebody who died suddenly and raised miraculously was one by the name of Jesus. He died suddenly because everybody thought that he was going to come and set up some kingdom that was promised in time. He was there, you know, teaching the kingdom of God, and most of his followers had in their heads that he was going to overthrow the government, the wicked government that was oppressing them. He was going to overthrow them, and he was going to set up the new era of the kingdom of God of righteousness and truth. And it would be good. And right at the peak of when it was going to happen, and they were all cheering for him, right when it was going to happen, he got betrayed by his best friend, and he was arrested by the authorities, and he was beaten, and then his back was torn open when they were whipping him with the ribbons of flesh flying off of him. And then they took him and they made him carry this big stick, and he carried it to a place where they laid him down on the crossbeam, and they drove nails into his wrist, into the nerve that is the most painful nerve in your body, and they raised him up on that stick and on that well, it looks like that, it's a cross, and they raised him up on that cross, and he was hanging there, and he couldn't breathe because of hanging there and the way the body works. And so he had to push himself up in order to breathe. But to push himself up, he had to pull at the nails on his wrists and on his feet. And he died. And just to make sure, the Romans came and they took a spear and they jabbed it into his side. And out came blood and water. And he was taken down from the cross and he was placed in a tomb. The stone rolled over the tomb, and, you know, his enemies didn't want any of his followers to come and steal the body. So they sealed the tomb and they set guards there who would kill anybody who tried to do anything. And the guards' lives were on their line too. And he died suddenly. One day went by and another. On the third day, some women came to bring some spices. They just wanted to be with him, so they brought some spices and they went there, and the guards were falling over, passed out, the tomb was open and empty. And then they saw him, and he spoke to them, and he ate with the disciples, and he had a new body. I mean, somebody who went through that torture doesn't just walk around teaching people. I mean, he had a new body. The scars were there, but he was raised miraculously. So you have account after account in the scriptures of people who died suddenly but then were raised miraculously. And the question is, you're going to die, I'm going to die. Are we going to be raised miraculously? Are we going to have that promise that after we pass away, after we die, there will come a day when we will be raised and have a new body and a new hope and a new life? And somebody here this morning might be thinking, hey, this is just religious mumbo jumbo. This is just nonsense. But let me ask you something. If this is religious mumbo jumbo, then you probably wouldn't, if it's just a religious thing, you probably wouldn't give your life to uphold that truth. Like, say there was somebody who believed in reincarnation. When you die, you come back as a mouse or a leaf or a king, depending on how good you live. But there's not one shred of evidence that that's true. Do you think that person is going to die to uphold that truth that they believe is true? Do you think that person, if they were had a gun put to their head and said, do you believe that people are going to be reincarnated? And there's not one shred of evidence that that is the case. They probably won't. But here you have disciples and followers of Jesus who literally gave their lives to uphold the truth that Jesus is alive, because they saw him, they saw the empty tomb, they saw he died, and it was a resurrection miracle. He died, he buried, he was raised. You know, in 1901, Abraham Lincoln's casket was opened because they feared that his body was not there. Well, Jesus' tomb was opened to prove he was not there. This is why we're here. We're here to uphold the resurrection. One person said this, the Gospels do not explain the resurrection. The resurrection explains the Gospels. Belief in the resurrection is not an appendage to the Christian faith. It is the Christian faith. So somebody may be here this morning who heard this message and may be thinking, hey, I'm convinced. I want to know that if I die, I am going to be raised. Now look, if you will, in John chapter 11. We read it earlier. Somebody might be wondering, how do I know that if I am raised, that if I die, I will one day partake of this new resurrection and new life and new hope? Before Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, Lazarus' sister looked to Jesus, and Jesus said to her, your brother's going to rise again. And she, who believed in the resurrection, said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day, in verse 24. Then Jesus looked at her and said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet he shall live. When you believe in Jesus, in what Jesus is talking about, you end up partaking of this promise that though you may die, yet you shall live. So what does that mean? What does it mean to believe in Jesus? Does it just mean you just assent to facts? Oh, Jesus died. And for my sins, I believe it in my head. No, the Bible is clearer as to what this belief is. It is a complete soul belief. It is a complete entrusting of your soul to Him. There are two parts of this belief. The first is saying no. A person needs to say no to their sin, no to their life, no to their own way of belief, no to their own way of getting to heaven. They need to say no. It is called repentance. Your life is going in a certain direction and you stop, you say no, and you turn around. It's not clean up your act. It's just stop in your tracks. Whatever direction you're going in, you stop right there. You recognize that you have been walking away from God. You have been sinning against God. You are under God's judgment and wrath. And yet He sent Jesus to die for you and for me. Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins and for my sins. And so you come under that conviction and you stop in your tracks and you say no to that life. I'm turning now. No. Then you say yes. Jesus is saying, I'm the resurrection and the life. Believe in me and you will live. I am the door. Come by me and you will live. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You say yes. Yes to that life. Yes to that new resurrection hope. Yes to the Christian life that God wants for me. Jesus said, you must be born again. You say, yes, I will be born again. And you receive His resurrection life now. And you're transformed, and you're converted, and you're changed, and you're given the hope that though you die, you will live. That's the good news that we call the gospel. Everyone has sinned. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He shed His blood to pay for our sins. And all we need to do is say no to our way and say yes to God's way. And He will come and transform your life so that now you do want to live for God. Now that you do want to do the works of God. And now that you do want to follow Jesus, who will come into your heart by the Holy Spirit that He'll give. And you'll become
a follower of Christ. You'll become a disciple of Jesus. You'll become a born-again believer in the only living God. Jesus is the resurrection. He took that death for us. I'd like to close with a simple illustration, and then I'd like to invite all of us to partake of this resurrection. There once was a boy and his father driving down the road. And as they drove down the road, their windows were open. Suddenly this wasp came into the vehicle. And the boy started panicking and shrieking and wailing because he was deathly ill to wasps. If he got stung, he would have been on the verge of death. And it was flying around and he didn't know what to do. Suddenly the father, in a quick moment, managed to grab that wasp in his hand in front of the boy. And thinking the wasp was killed, he opened his hand. And there the wasp came flying around and surrounding the boy. And the boy was screaming and he said, "Son, don't worry. Look, the stinger is on my hand. You're safe." When Jesus died on the cross, the sting of death was put in his hand. And if you repent of your sin and trust in Him for your salvation, you will live. Would you come before me in a word of prayer? Father in heaven, there may be someone here this morning who has not trusted in You as their Lord and Savior and feels the sting of death. It's an unbelievable feeling to know that no matter what happens, if I die, it's going to be okay. And I pray for that soul here this morning that may need to have that hope. I pray that You would show them that they need to repent and turn to You for salvation, as You once showed me many years ago. I pray, Father, that if they want salvation, they would call upon You now. They would say, "God, I am a sinner. I have sinned against You, and I don't want to die and suffer Your judgment and wrath. I want to live. I repent of my sin. I turn from it. I turn to You. Save me. Give me life and give me resurrection hope, that I may follow You, that I may become Yours. I give my life to You. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Father in heaven, may You be our resurrection and life every day as we walk this earth, knowing that no matter what happens, though we may die suddenly, we will be raised miraculously in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet, we will be raised. Amen."